There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
You're listening to Drive Live with Emma Brain and Natalie Lindo-Taylor. Now, Emma, it's time to wander through the music scoop. And we're going all the way back to day in 1963.
Yeah, it's a birthday today. Born in 1963, trance DJ and record producer Paul Oakenfold is born in London, England, and here's one of my favourite tracks of his. Cheery one to start off with, and the singer on that is you might recognize his voice, it's Shifty from Crazy Town.
Okay.
Remember the song Butterfly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. So that's him. 1969, the Birmingham band Earth changes its name. Any idea to what?
No.
Black Sabbath.
Okay.
That's who Black Sabbath were. They were called Earth. And basically, Ozzy Osbourne got up on stage. They were singing. And he went, you know what? I'm changing our name. From now on, we shall be known as Black Sabbath. And that's what happened with that. 1970, Jimi Hendrix rocks the Isle of Wight Festival in his last ever British concert appearance. The show was plagued by technical problems. The guitarist's amplifier ended up picking up signals from security radios, but that went down well. Other artists appearing on stage included Free and the Moody Blues, and the festival closed with a dawn performance by Richie Havens, who also opened at Woodstock. Mm-hmm. In 1975, Rod Stewart had his fifth number one album when Atlantic Crossing started a five-week run at the top of the charts. The title indicated Stewart's new artistic direction and on his departure to escape the 83% top rate of income tax introduced by then Labour Prime Minister Harold Wilson for the jet set even lifestyle in LA. 1986. This was an absolutely stonker of an 80s tune. It went to number one in the US and number three in the UK. Favourite 80s tune, that one. That is, of course, Steve Winwood and Higher Love. In 1989, Bebe Rexha is born in Brooklyn, New York. 1993, Billy Joel became the first musical guest on CBS TV's The Late Show with David Letterman after the show debuted there. In 1995, Carly Simon and James Taylor performed live together in front of 10,000 fans on Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts. It was the first time they appeared live on the same stage since 1979. The former couple played their own solo sets before combining their efforts in raising money for the local agricultural society. We come forward to 2007, and rap star Lil Wayne is sued by a woman for $1 million who claimed she was crushed at one of his concerts after a large amount of cash was thrown into the audience. Tariq Lane, then 17, said she lost consciousness after being trampled by the crowd at a gig in Maryland and suffered memory loss and severe headaches. Throwing money into an audience of thousands, possibly not the brightest idea, really, is it? In 2011, alleging that Elvis Presley was unjustly exploited during his lifetime by his record company, his estate announced a multi-million dollar lawsuit against Arista Music, formerly RCA Records, demanding proper payment over new media income such as ringtones, downloads and entertainment apps. Something I never really thought about, you know, these older artists.
Yeah.
And all their songs get used as ringtones. Where's the royalties and everything? Now, this is crazy. In 2013, cinemas in the UK handed out earplugs to parents taking their children to see One Direction's new film. Accompanying chaperones could enjoy One Direction, This Is Us 3D, without being worried about the high levels of expected screaming and shouting in the auditoriums during the screenings. Apparently, us humans are capable of screaming as loud as 120 decibels, which is the same as standing next to a running chainsaw. So, but here's just a little bit of One Direction for you. So get out, get out, get out of my head. I'm falling to my arms instead. So One Direction went crazy in the cinemas. 2015 rap artist Kanye West announces he'll run for president in 2020 at the MTV Video Music Awards. Please don't. In 2016, the Go-Go's complete their final tour, playing their last show at the Greek Theatre in Los Angeles. Natalie, are you familiar with the Go-Go's?
Not massively. I've heard of them, but I wouldn't say I was a big fan. But do you know, I can't hear the Greek Theatre in Los Angeles without thinking of the film. Get him to the Greek.
Oh, get him to the Greek. But the Go-Go's, of course, Belinda Carlisle and Jane Wedlin in there. And 2016, the 2017... Well, okay, the 2017 comes out for the next year. The Guinness World Record said Ringo Starr's copy of the Beatles' White Album was officially the most expensive LP ever sold at auction. They confirmed that a December 2015 sale at Julian's auction house set a new high for album prices when the first edition copy with the catalogue number 0000001, which was kept in a vault in perfect condition by Ringo Starr for more than 35 years, sold for $790,000, which
is insane.
So I'm going to play my favourite track from the White Album. Such a good track. That is, of course, the Beatles and Back in the USSR, because just a great track, really. And can you imagine selling that first White Album? $790,000. Insane.
No, it's crazy. Crazy.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.